Daya Virdas is asking, can you help me understand this idea of finding balance in our practice I hear just about everyone talking about? Is there a sweet spot between making advancement and Maya's energy? My understanding is that either we are engaged in serving Krishna or serving our senses. One leads us to him and the other binds us here. I sometimes hear we need a certain amount of sense gratification so our mind will not be disturbed and can be engaged in devotional service. It seems this idea of balance can be taken too far in a way that it could slow down our advancement.
I think this is a wrong conception. Balance, meaning you're balancing sense gratification with Krishna consciousness. I never heard of such a thing. There's such a thing as Krishna conscious sensual engagement, but there's nothing outside of Krishna consciousness. For example, someone wants to get married, that's fine, but there's only one way of doing it if you want to be Krishna conscious, and that's the Krishna conscious way. If you want to have sex life, there's only one way of doing it, kama smi. There's no balance of doing it. One is doing it Maya's way, and the other is Krishna's way, and you balance the two. So if you want to eat prasadam, but you can't eat those things that are not offerable or that are offensive. At least if I got it right, it sounded like that. Like you need a certain amount of material energy and certain, but a Krishna conscious thing. But anything that's prescribed, Krishna says, "Kamusmi." Okay, this type of sex life, bringing children into the world, that's spiritual. So there's nothing material about it, but it's a type of regulated sex life, a regulated household life. That's in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. And yes, so that's that type of balance. But the balance is within Krishna consciousness. There's no balancing Krishna consciousness and non-Krishna consciousness. How to strike that balance? That one can see by how peaceful one's mind is in executing devotional service. And it requires also outside guidance, because self-analysis is not really the Vedic system. It requires also assistance and guidance from without, as to how I'm best situated in an ashram, in a varna, and what are the steps that I should be making in spiritual life, and how fast I should be making those steps. So that type of balance is fine. But everything has to be according to Krishna conscious prescription. Yajna tat karma no natra. So everything has to be yajna. Otherwise, lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Otherwise, you get bound. So there's no question of balancing something that ties you to the material world and something that liberates you to the material world. That ends up becoming actually offensive. So it runs into the category of nama parad. But following spiritual prescription, that's fine. Hare Krishna. Was there anything else on that?
He's just quoting the verse of if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much and sleeps not sleeps enough.
But you should eat prasadam. You should eat those things that are prescribed. And sleeping may also be there. But you sleep in order to render service. And that may be all right. But those things that are prescribed, recreation is mentioned. Prabhupada's given different forms of recreation. Swimming was one. Kirtan is the best form of recreation. You have to move around and dance. So we should do things within the Krishna conscious catalog, not within Maya's catalog. So balance has to be like that. Édességeket mit ne ad valakiknek, szankitanosoknak.
Jó.
Adjál egyet Lidaszukának, és egyet Dajvisaktinak.
Kivatkozzuk.
Szóval egy hívjuk. There's something else.
There's a question from Jayadev Kavidas. He says, on Ekadashi, we are supposed to simplify our bodily demands and spend more time hearing and chanting. But when we are cooking for the deities and the devotees, we often spend much more time preparing large quantities of vegetables and having to replace simple grains like rice and wheat flour with esoteric pseudo-grains that makes the process more complicated when it could be simple. Today, despite choosing relatively simple things to cook, I spent an hour overtime in the kitchen. Is it better that we just eat fruit? I would appreciate to hear your thoughts on how we can actually simplify our life and best take advantage of this day.
It's tulsi. If we really want to spend maximum time chanting and hearing, then the best thing is no eating. Drinking is pretty simple. You just pour water, but you can even go without that. And it's amazing what happens when you don't eat. When you don't eat, you don't have to sleep. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by devotees, how should we observe Ekadasi, then he gave the formula of dry fast. Of course, we don't do that now because we're not sitting in Jagannath Puri in front of Lord Jagannath and chanting Hare Krishna all day long, or reading Shastra. We're going out and doing active service so many things, including distributing books. So one may need some energy, and since the essence of Ekadasi is service, that service is certainly relevant. And cooking for devotees is also service, preparing food for them, but yes, it may come with its own drawbacks, setbacks, what to do. Best thing is, if one can do it, don't eat. I'm not saying don't drink, because I drink now, since my kidney issues, but it's certainly a good way of observing Ekadasi.
There's a connected question, Gurmaj. He's saying that, as I understand, an Ekadashi sinful reaction takes shelter in grains. Can you please explain the reasoning why living entities who don't follow this, either knowingly or unknowingly, get reactions to sins they never committed? In my limited view, it seems unjustified and callous to people who suffer reactions for sins they never performed.
Well, that's a larger question of why should people be punished for things that they don't know. And the answer is that you're a human being and it's your business to know. And if you don't know, that's your neglect. Same thing as there are umpteen laws of the land, and no one has even taught us about these laws. But still, if you break them, you're punished. So you have to know. It's civilization means that you recognize that there's such a thing as ekadasi. And because there is such a thing as ekadasi, human beings are meant to follow them. And if you don't know about it and don't follow it, then you get the reaction of not following ekadasi, which is one thing. And simultaneously, you also become polluted by the influence of the Papa Purush within grains. And that's, of course, not the major thing that people are doing on ekadasi. They're not just eating grains, they're eating cows. So, hard to actually calculate all the bad karma that people are assimilating on a daily basis. I don't know how Yamraj keeps track of it all. You really have to be omniscient to be able to keep abreast of all of those things. But that's a principle. Why should someone be punished for something that he doesn't know? Any judge will give you the answer. It's your business to know. When you're in a certain position, you're a citizen of a country, you have to know the laws of the country. If you're a human being, then you have to know the laws that pertain to human beings. You believe in it, you don't believe in it, or I don't believe in that. No one cares. The judge doesn't care whether you believe in the rules of the road or not. You're going to get punished if you break them. So, same thing. These are facts. This is reality. And if we ignore the reality of how the world around us works, it's like saying, I don't believe in gravity and jumping off the top of a building. Gravity doesn't care. You're going to become a pancake. So, it doesn't matter what we think. The fact is, what's the fact? People may think and believe so many things. Hare Krishna.